over only it's a small percentage of the world who actually even have access to the internet. So if you can even hear me on the internet, that means you're doing pretty good. Whether you think so or not, you're doing pretty good. Amen. All right, so I'm not going to belabor the point. I think I've hit all the things that we need to hit. I ask that you all be careful. It is Memorial Day weekend. You know, people have a tendency to, you know, get a little crazy and all kinds of stuff. But be careful out there and make sure that you are what? Paying attention and that you see what's going on. You know, people are still shooting up things, you know. It seemed like as soon as we kind of came out of COVID just a little bit, there we were. People came right back in there. Now they're starting to shoot up, you know, clubs and all kinds of stuff again. So please, people, God, I don't ever want to get that call that one of our folk have been lost to some senseless tragedy. Amen. No doubt I can control it, but well, we can be diligent and we can also listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us, where to go, where not to go, where to be and where not to be. Amen. All right. So let's go ahead. I believe there is a word from the Lord on today. Amen. I've just been praying and studying and saying, Lord, what do you have for your people? As y'all know, the month of April, we have been on entertainment. If you have not saw that thread, you know, so what we talked about in the beginning, where we talked about Vashti. Vashti was there, what, to entertain. And then before that, we were talking about, oh, man, I can't remember now. It leaves my head. But all these things were what started out as like places of entertainment. And then these things from entertainment, what, they transferred to something different. And we was talking about, you know, reimagining God. Remember, our theme for the entire year has been reimagining God in this space and seeing him in a different light, because you many of us have met him in one way, but now he's operating with us in a different way. Amen. And so, you know, we find ourselves that what we don't want to, we're not locked. We're not a church with walls. For the what? The church is what? Expansive. It's everywhere. God's people are everywhere, but yet we've pigeonholed his people to a smaller platform. We've pigeonholed his people to say only God's people can be here. Oh, they only can do this, or they must look like this, or they must look like that. And what I'm telling you is what? It's the spirit that lives inside of us. It's the spirit that lives inside of us. So as we go on this word on today, I want you to keep that mindful. And I got a couple of scriptures we'll read, and then we'll jump right into what I believe God has given us on today to be able to share with you. So if you would be so kind, would you turn your Bibles to the Isaiah, the 65th chapter and verse 11. And while we're doing that, I want to say thank you to all of those who pray for my wife. She is doing much better. We believe the procedure that she got, you know, has helped her, and she's moving forward and she's feeling a lot better. So we definitely appreciate you all the prayers that have gone forth on behalf of our First Lady Ely as we continue to navigate and learn this thing and do what it is that God has called us to do. Amen. Amen. I hope that maybe you can see that. Give me a couple more clicks. Yeah, I guess we'll be good. All right. So we want to read, and we'll start at verse 65, and I'm going to read verse 12, and then I got a couple of more I would give you. For those who would like to get ahead, also give me Psalms, the 22nd chapter, and then you also want to get Matthew 27. So give me a second to get this thing off the runway on today as we continue and we finish up entertainment for the month of May. Entertainment for the month of May. Amen. All right. So let's go right in here and believe what God has given us on today. And it says this, but ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for the troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I call, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before my eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Prophet Isaiah speaking on behalf of God. Go with me to Psalms 22 and 18. I'll give you a second to get there. Psalms 22 and 18. And it says this, They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. And last one, we want to go to 27, Matthew 27 and 35. 30. Let's go all the way down to like 37. Matthew 27, 35 through 37. And it says this, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head with the accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning. Lord, we thank you for starting us out right now. We thank you for the activity of our limbs. Lord, we thank you for, Lord Jesus, this, Lord, strength, Lord Jesus, to go forward. Lord, I ask that on this day, Lord, you control my tongue, control my thoughts, my mind, my spirit, as I give over to you to allow you to speak this word on today to your people, oh God. Lord, you dare to find them where they are. Lord, you dare to be inspiring, oh God, but then also be cutting. Lord, you dare to be, Lord Jesus, sweet, Lord Jesus, but it also be strong. Lord Jesus, I ask that you just continue to help us to go forward. Lord Jesus, help your people, Lord Jesus, for we all desire, Lord Jesus, to go to the next level. For Satan desires to sift us as wheat. But you say that you pray for us day in the day of testing that our faith would fail us not. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name. We ask you to do things of us in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. So if we want to, as we look at this message, and we want to use for our subject today is gambling at the feet of faith. Gambling at the feet of faith. Would you put in the chat? Let me know that you're out there with me. Put in the chat real quick. Gambling at the feet of faith. Gambling at the feet of faith. I'm going to take my time here. I've been working. I know I go a little fast, and I've been trying to be conscious of that because I get so excited. But I also am reminded, and I know my speed comes from when I was younger. You know, people give you a certain amount of time to say things. Right. So over time, I just developed what I call it, the Speedy Gonzalez spirit. You know, y'all remember the Looney Tunes, and you had Speedy Gonzalez, and you know, he was, everything was fast. Rewind, rewind. He's all over the place. Right. And, you know, and I found myself, you know, teaching and preaching like that. But, you know, I am reminded now that I'm in the space that God has given us our own ministry, and we can just really take our time. Amen. So I've been working on that. And hopefully you will be able to benefit from me taking my time. Come on, Facebook, put in the chat, gambling at the feet of faith. Gambling at the feet of faith. Gambling at the feet of faith. Amen. Here we go. So let's look at it. So we read three different verses here, and I read that very intentionally and strategically, in the sense that I wanted you to see a progression of what was going on here. We find that when we was reading in Isaiah, that Isaiah was what? The Isaiah prophet, you know, was prophesying to say these things will happen, that there will come a point in time that there will be this vestment, and that others would what? Sit down the charge, and they would take the charge, and they will forsake God himself. They will forsake him. They will forget all about him. They forget about what he done. They'll forget about how he brought them, the children of Israel, out of bondage. They'll forget about how they crossed the Red Sea. That they will forget about the times that, you know, he fed them when they didn't have thing, you know, they had nothing to eat. They will forget about the places that they're gone. They'll forget about the things that they've been through. They will forget about how God has sought and brought them over. How many of you, sometimes when you stop and you think about it, how many times that you get in a place that you kind of forget? Come on, you at home, nobody gonna see you raise your hand but you. But I'm reminded, and I can say to myself, there are times that I've forgotten, There are times where I've gotten in a place that all I saw was what was before me, what I was struggling with, what I was dealing with at the moment, what I was going through. All I cared about was what I was going. I did not remind myself of all the things that I had been through. I didn't remind myself of the things that I've saw, that God has shown himself time and time again to be there for me. That he showed himself there time and time again to be what? That holy mountain that they talked about in Isaiah, that temple. So when we read, and if I was going to teach this a little bit, we would really dive into this, what this holy mountain is. That was a temple. And this right here is really written in Isaiah actually prophesies this kind of in a code. And this code has to be deciphered. So, you know, so we may go back and revisit this at another time. But this holy mountain is what? This temple. It's the temple of Moriah, is where they went to go prepare. And he's talking about how they prepare the place for him at the temple. But now this temple is not being prepared for him, but it's being prepared for the troop being Gad, G-A-D, Gad, Gad being the troop here. And he's talking about how this is now being furnished from him. And people are starting now to what? To forget, and to forget so much to the point that now they don't even recognize God or recognize who he is and how he affects and he can change and control their lives. We find ourselves in a global pandemic that we've been in for like the last year or two. And I don't know about you, but there have been times that my faith has been tested. There have been times, you know, God has provided that we didn't go in lack. You know, everybody in my house ate. In fact, you know, some gained weight, some lost weight. Thank God I lost the weight. Amen. But nonetheless, amen. But we didn't go with lacking there, but sometimes it's just we got tested, or we being tested by our mental capacity. Our mental fortitude is being tested. Our strength in that which we're going through right now has been tested. You know, many of you I've not seen in a church setting, the traditional church setting, in over a year. And for some of you, that's been a test and a trial of your faith to find out what it is that you really have. Do you really have faith, or did you just have some religion? Did you really have faith, or this is something that you just kind of picked up because this is what your family traditionally did on Sundays? And if you didn't do this, then it felt like you was missing out. But see, all this, I'm really just, you know, interesting what God is doing in this day and time now, because now all these things as we know it has changed. So now we really need to find out who are the real believers, who are those who are really there, because what? God, I trust you. God, I see you, and I see what we're going through and where we've been, and how do we get to the next level? How do we get there? Now, as we read here now, Isaiah, the next part of Isaiah, there's another part in Psalms, which notes both of these are Old Testament. You have Isaiah, Old Testament, and now you have Psalms. In the book of Psalms, he says that what? That they will be, if I go back here and touch it real quick, that they will be what? They will be pardoned of my garments among them and cast lots for my virtue, vesture. What is my vesture? My vesture is my garment. In times of Jesus, he wore not a dress, as some would try to say that he wore a dress, but he didn't wear a dress. It was called a tunic. So his vesture was a tunic. Somebody put in the chat real quick. Vesture is a tunic. V-E-S-T-U-R-E. Vesture is a tunic. And at that time period that you had two types of tunics, you know, the women wore the ankle length tunic. Their tunics would have a tendency to drag the ground. They would go down. But the men wore the tunics that went kneeling. So, you know, there was some who would say, well, they wore dresses. No, that's not true. They wore a tunic. And if you know anything about tunic, they are pretty much just wraps. Amen. So his tunic here, he talks about that. They were what? They would cast lots. What is lots? Lots are how they talk about gambling or games of fate. Fate, not faith, but fate, F-A-T-E, games of fate in the Bible times. We find out in the Bible times many times that they did what? That when they got to a point and they lacked faith and they lacked direction and they lacked clarity, what one would do was they would cast lots. Oh, come on, somebody. Even down to the point that what? The disciples, when they were trying to decide who was going to replace Judas, if I recall correctly, the Bible said they cast lots, and the lots fell on, I believe it was Matthew. Mm-hmm. Some of you say that, what, I don't know how this is going to work out or what job I'm going to take. So I don't know. So what I'm going to do is I'm literally going to toss a coin. I'm going, if it's heads, I'm going to do this. And if it's tails, I'm going to do this. How many of you been guilty of that? I got my hand raised. So these are what? Casting lots. These are game of fate. And what we have done is we'll try to replace our games of fate with the faith that God has put in us. Oh, come on, somebody. See, fate and faith are two different things. So we find faith to be what? An outcome. The Bible tells us that faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, yet the evidence of things not seen. That I'm believing and I'm walking in the admiration that what, this is going to happen, and it's going to happen this way, and it didn't happen exactly when I think it should happen, but what, I am to stay there and just stay in that vein until what, God brings it to pass. If he told you it's going to happen, then all I have to do is to believe what he said and walk in it. But see, the truth of the matter is some of us, he hadn't told us anything. Some of these things are things that we've taken upon ourselves in fate, F-A-T-E, and not in faith, F-A-I-T-H. There's a difference between the two. So ask yourself today, have I done this in fate or in faith? Put that in the chat with me. Fate or faith? Fate, F-A-T-E, or faith? The reason I'm asking you all to put this in the chat, number one, is engagement, to make sure that you're with me. As a good teacher, I got to make sure that you're with me. Number two, there are others who come on later on who may watch this, who ghost watch or whatever the case may be, and I don't care about it, because if the word is getting out, the word is powerful, and I want them to be able to see that which has been talked about, to see what God was doing when it was a live space. All right, so fate or faith? Ask yourself, this is a personal question. This is introspection for you today. Ask yourself, Lord, am I doing things off fate or am I doing it off faith? Gambling at the feet of faith. So here we find here the next part, the next verse we go to, I read was Matthew. Now remember the first two parts in Isaiah and Psalms were what prophesied that they were going to come. And now we find in Matthew where the prophecy is fulfilled. You'll find out a lot of times in the Old Testament that you'll find that prophecy gets what? Fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So prophecy in the Old Testament is typically given, but you'll find a lot of times in the New Testament where those prophecies have been fulfilled. Are y'all with me? So these prophecies are now being fulfilled. And this is one, and he talks about it here. He says, what? When they crucified him here in Matthew and parted his garments, they were talking about what? His garments now are off. His tunic is gone. And he said they were what? Casting lots. What were they doing? They were gambling, playing games of fate to be able to collect the garments of Jesus. They were gambling at the feet of Jesus for his clothes. So mind you here now, let me set the tune and let you understand what was going on here. What was going on here? Jesus has now just been crucified. He's on the cross. He's stretched out. He's been nailed to the cross. And while he's nailed at the cross, there he is what the Bible says right before these couple of verses here. They offer him the vinegar and to drink. And he denied it. And he's here. What? He's dying. He's suffering here on the cross. He's suffering for you and I. And at this point in time where he's suffering, I don't think people quite understand the humiliation of this. That, you know, a couple of years ago, they came out with this movie called The Passion of the Christ, and they did a okay job, but they still didn't do everything. Why? Because, well, you believe it or not, Christ was naked. The Bible said they went, you know, they plucked his beard until he bled. I have a beard. It hurts when I try to get an ingrown hair out of something sometimes. I can only imagine if somebody just running up to you, just pulling chunks of your beard out. The pain and the intensity of that. And think about it. He was naked. So in his man, he was there in all his glory. People going out mocking him, kicking him, all kinds of stuff. I don't think sometimes you and our brothers and sisters that we fully understand what he went through. And especially to be an innocent man. Especially to be dying the death of a political prisoner. Mm-hmm. So now what, he's there, they have his clothes, and now they have the audacity. Because remember, Jesus is royalty, so he walked around away in his purple. Mm-hmm. And you know, purple and indigo at that time was one of the most expensive things you can get. This is why royalty has it. This is why purple is the color of royalty. This is why at the Safe House Church, we have two colors. Our colors are what? Purple and white. Purple what? For his royalty, that is kingship. And white is what? For our surrender. So come on, somebody. If you didn't know that, I just told you that about the Safe House Church. That's why our color, church colors are purple and white. If you notice, most of the things we do, we try to do in purple and white for that, what, to remind us that what, we are royalty, but at the same time, we walk in what, this thing of forgiveness and salvation. When you want to give up, what they do, you say you throw in the what, the white towel, you wave the white flag. It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of purity that, look, I'll give this up. I give this up. So now we find them here, what, these soldiers are casting lots at the feet of Jesus. And they're casting lots not, you know, to mock him. Now, let's talk about gambling in itself. Let's talk about gambling. I know some people, I'm losing some folk right now. Because some of us, you know, that's our thing, you know. And the Bible, you know, while it doesn't speak directly to it, but it speaks all very clearly about some other things. So let's talk about gambling in its truest sense. What is gambling? Gambling itself is just what? It's just another form of entertainment. See, what these guys were doing here, they were entertaining themselves. Their reason for being here, if you notice the next verse we said, they said, and they sat down. This was Matthew 27, 36. They said, and they sat down and they watched him there. What were they sitting there watching him? They were waiting for Jesus to die. They were waiting for Jesus to die. And at some point, if you read on, you'll find out that what, these soldiers became impatient with these guys, with these people, Jesus and the two thieves dying. So what do? They go to break their legs. But biblical prophecy said that he would what, be crucified and not a bone would be broken in his body. So even all that Jesus went through, that there was no bones broken in his body. I believe that the reason there was no bones broken in his body, because remember, Jesus is the what, the foundation that we live on. It's the foundation we stand on. And if there were broken bones in his body, then there's no foundation that we can stand on. Are y'all with me? That the foundation had to be sure. It had to be said. So they tell us that when they got to the point where they wouldn't die, what they did is they were taken like a club and they went to break their legs. They went and broke their legs. They would take this club. Almost think about in terms of a bat today. If you would just take a bat and you walk up to somebody and just hit their legs until they broke. It's crucial, isn't it? I don't want to be hitting on the shin by anything. Just my shin, I'm going to not be nice. Now, you imagine being hit on with a bat until they broke your legs. Yeah, that's what they were doing. And they were doing this, what, to speed the death process. How that actually worked, I'm not sure. But that's what they were doing it for. So then they get to Jesus. And right before they get ready to hit him, the soldier pokes him and said, realizes, say, nope, no need, don't even hit him. He's already dead. He said, don't even hit him. He was already dead. So here they're what? They're sitting here to amuse themselves, and they're doing this what? By gambling. Gambling. And we find that gambling what is a form of entertainment. It's a form of entertainment for thrill seekers. It's a form of entertainment for those who desire not to put in the work. One of the things that, you know, we see that the Bible speaks about is what? Ill-gotten gains. Gains that were not earned over time. See, it's a reason why God has his thing set up like this. You and I know, and this is very, very, very well documented, that most people who win the lottery, most people who win a lot of money and didn't really have to work for it, they rarely, rarely, rarely keep it. You don't have to go far to see this. Some of our brothers and sisters from all around the world, all colors, I mean, in the United States, got these stimulus checks. Some of them so desperately needed the money. There's no question about it. They had things they needed to do. But a lot of them who got it, they spent it as fast as they got it. Some of them didn't do what they were supposed to do. Some of them didn't pay bills. It's just come on, let's tell the truth. Some of them didn't follow through on those things. Because now they got this windfall that they what? They did not earn. In fact, we found now that people cannot, there are a number of businesses and establishments that are open that want to do business that in fact cannot do business because they cannot get nobody to come to work because we have people who are sitting at home getting ill-gotten gains and say, well, I'd rather sit at home and I'll make more money to sit at home than I do to go to work. What do you think this does to those who do go to work every single day? It builds a resentment in them. So we got to be careful and we got to pray for our country that what this thing didn't come back. I understand it. And I get the premise, and there are people who need help, but at the same time, it's building another level of resentment that we're not even ready for. Are y'all with me? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? But nonetheless, here, what is happening here that what? If you get ill-gotten gains, that's what he's saying. Things that you didn't work for, things that you didn't see over time, you will lose them. The Bible says it like this. It says that a fool and his money shall soon part. Why? Because that fool, when that fool comes into a windfall, they don't know how to do it. I know people. Unfortunately, I have relatives. I'm sure you have relatives. They got it, gone. They get it, gone. Can't save, can't do any of these things. Don't invest, just gone. A fool and his money shall soon part. So here what? This is one of the things about ill-gotten gains that it puts you in a place that to me, and this is Ely 101, it accelerates sin. Sin being what? You missing the mark. So I'm missing the mark. Now what I have money, I think my grandfather used to say, he said he was a broke fool and now he's a rich fool and then he's going to be a stupid fool before it's all said and done. Why? Because whoever you are when you don't have, you're the same person when you have. It just magnifies whatever it is that you already are. Are y'all with me? So here what? Ill-gotten gains. And to find it, that what? The thing about gambling, the thing about this that we talk about, the gambling at the feet of faith is this. They're gambling here at the feet of Jesus. Now, notice that when you gamble, when they play these games of casting lots, they're typically cast down. Think about that for a moment. Here you have what? Jesus right here behind them, so to speak, or right here in front of them at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of faith itself is right here in front of them, yet they play games of faith before him. Why? Because they don't believe. See, this is why the Bible says it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because you must have faith to even start. I tell people all the time, you meet people and you start to talk to them and engage in discussion. The first thing I found, if they don't believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God, there's really not much to discuss. Mm-hmm. Why? There's nothing to discuss because it starts with faith. If you believe that this is the word of God, then what? We can go from there and we can build. We don't have to agree on everything, but if I believe that this is the word of God and you believe that this is the word of God, then we have what? A similar, we have a platform or a foundation, that chief cornerstone to which what? To build our faith from there, to start our conversation from there. See, the problem is a lot of times when we have conversations with people, believers, is that we're talking to people who don't even believe the same thing. And because they don't even believe the same thing on the fundamental level, that you're not getting anywhere. This is why we see racism the way we see it in this country. I mean, tell the truth that people do not believe you to be their equal. So therefore, you know, it comes out in conversation. And they mean well, but they have a fundamental disbelief or a fundamental belief that this person is not like me. And because of that, what happens is under time and pressure, as they use the old saying says that pressure busts pipes, then what you find out is that this stuff spews out of people when they're pressed. Mm-hmm. You find out what you're made of when you're in the crucible of life. So here what they're finding out that what, as they cast down their lots, they're dependent on fate and not faith. So what about fate? So fate is what? I mean, fate is what? A part of game of chance. Remember, the Bible tells us that what? It is Satan who is the what? Prince of this world. Satan controls things in this world just for a short time. So anytime that you cast in lots, anytime you cast in these things, this is controlled by what we call fate, games of chance. Maybe it do or maybe not. I don't know about you, but if I had faith on my side that my thing was certain if I believe, my thing was certain if I stay steadfast, my thing was certain if I stay true to who I was, I do not need games of fate to tell me my future. It's another form of witchcraft. Anything that's opposite of faith is witchcraft. Faith says that these things, if God speaks a thing to you and you walk and you do your part, you can take it to the bank. But what we find ourselves is that when times get a little tough and we started seeing little things, we get like Peter, we start to sink in the water a little bit. We start to relax on our laws a little bit. We don't pray as hard. We don't fast as much. We don't read our Bibles as much. We don't give like we used to. We used to pay our tithes and not even question about it. We used to pay our offering unto God and knew God would make a way and saw God made a way. But then what? Our fate kicked in and said, I don't understand it. So I'd rather take my chance to hold on to this little money I got and do it my way because I see it my way than me to exercise in faith and realize that what God said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So if you ain't good health and you ain't spending thousands of dollars at the doctor, he's rebuking the devourer. If you always got food on your table, you don't know how things work out and these bills came this way and this one blessed you with this, that God is doing these things that way. It's working in your favor. See, blessings are always there, but it's how you and I choose to look at them. I made a post on Facebook earlier this week and God had me in a reflection mode this week. And I was reflecting on some things and some things that I was just thinking about that didn't go the way that I wanted to go. And things, that, you know, and even I as pastor here, didn't mean that I'm immune to this stuff. I have them too. I deal with them too. And then I do have to come back here and speak to you. Mm-hmm. And God was dealing with me and he was reminding me of how some of the things and some of the people he's put in my life, how it may not equate it to this money or it didn't equate to this situation, equate it to this job, but every single one of them were there for a reason. Every single piece of them inspired me in a different way. Every single part of them showed me something different about God's mercy. It showed me something different that, you know, about his grace and something different about his anointing, something different about his keeping power. And it reminds me that, well, I don't have to entertain myself with faith when I have faith. That these men here were what, gambling at the feet of faith, that they had what they needed right there in the midst of them. But yet, what did they do? They chose to gamble there. They chose to what? To mock him. Because we find out that they get through gambling. What was the next thing they did? They said the accusation. They thought it was funny. They made a sign, said, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews, not knowing that they were declaring unto heaven and heaven. The Bible said that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. So what did they do? They went up there and not even knowing what they were doing, thought they were making mockery. Oh, come on. I feel my help coming on. Thought they were making mockery of Jesus Christ and yet went up there and proclaimed him to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm here to tell somebody today that they think that in their fate that they're mocking you. They think in their games of chance that they're putting you down. They think that what they're doing is helping them to go to the next level, but all they're doing is setting you up in faith. All they're doing is setting you up for what God has already done. So all you are required to do is believe. You don't have to play games of chance. You don't have to toss the coin. You don't have to sit up there and say, well, maybe it do, maybe it don't. No, you walk in faith. If God has shown you a thing, that you hold it until it come to pass. Here they were. They were playing before him. Mm-hmm. And there were some questions that Isaiah brought up that we did not bring into thought here today. And I want you to look at these two different questions and apply them to your life and to what God is doing. Are you working in faith or are you working in faith? Are you gambling at the feet of Jesus? Because many of us, we're saying, Lord, Lord, we need you. But then we turn our back and we shake our dice and we throw them and hoping that we hit snake eyes. We turn our back and we shake our dice and say, Lord, I don't know. I'm going to marry this one. Lord, I'm turning our back and we're going to shake our dice and we're going to throw it and say, Lord, I'm going to take this job. We take the dice and we throw it and Lord, I'm going to do this situation. I'm going to do that. And we continually put faith in our hands and we deny faith when faith is sitting right in front of us. Faith fate is right in front of us. It could be right behind you. And we've turned our back on it. Why? Because we believe we know better in our games of chance. And yet it's entertainment to some. It's entertainment to us to sit back and see that, you know what? I'm going to do it. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die my way. I'm going to die doing it my way is what we say. So watch this. He says this. Going back to Isaiah 65. And I'm going to get out your way today. I know it's Memorial Day. You got hot dogs, hamburgers, or whatever on the grill. You're getting ready to go eat. And I don't want to stand in the way of that. But I want to give you something to think about all week long. Are you gambling at the feet of faith? That you right there before Jesus, you're on your knees and saying, Lord, I need you. But are you gambling for his garment? Do you just want a piece of him? Because see, the truth of the matter is the garment was there what? To shield the glory. Because see, you can't handle the truth. We can't handle the truth. So the garment was there, what? To shield us from the glory. So what do we want? The thing that shielded him, not the thing that made him. Woo! Come on. We want the thing that shielded him, not the thing that made him. Mm-hmm. So think about it like this, brothers and sisters. See, they competed for his covering. This is the equivalent of you and I taking an orange. Take an orange for a second. I mean, we all pretty much know what an orange is. The part of the orange, the best part of the orange is what? The actual pulp in the inside. That's where the juice comes from. That's where the vitamin C is. That's where the nutrient, that's the sweetness of the thing. Also, it contains the seed for what? Reproduction, so that you can have that thing continuously. See, God has given us the seeds for reproduction inside of us, both physically and spiritually. I have the seeds of reproduction in me. I was able to, with my wife, to what? To have two children. I planted the seed in her. She being what? The body that replicates, because that's what women do. They replicate whatever you give them. So her body was able to replicate that one seed I gave her. So my one seed tied with her one seed produced us two children that look like us, that act like us, that talk like us, that have some of our tendencies. Replication. This is why the Bible said, what? Sheep begot sheep. This is why believers and members of Safe House Church, if we're going to grow as a church, you all got to get out in the streets and highways and compel them to come. You got to open your mouth. You got to be able to say, I'm not looking for perfection. God is not looking for perfection, but he's looking for progression. We've been open long enough as a church now to say, we need to be doing a little bit better. We need to be growing a little bit more. I'm doing my part. I'm doing everything I can. I'm asking you, let's pick up the pace. Because God has got what? Are we gambling at the feet of faith just to say, you know what? We're just going to show up and they're going to just come up and open the door. Or are we going to walk in faith and God says, speak to this brother. Speak to this sister. Take this one to lunch. Take that one. Go by and just send a message. Send a text message and say, hey, we're just thinking about you. This is how you what? The Bible said, one planteth, one water, but it's he that gives the increase. So all he asked us to do was what? Plant and water. I'm planning here with you today. Some of you going to water this throughout the whole week because you're going to be thinking about this thing, gambling at the feet of faith. Do I gamble at the feet of faith? And you know what? It's God is going to get an increase through your diligence of you being able to study and think and meditate on what I'm saying to you on today. That what? God, I want to be better. I talk about being better, but am I willing to take the steps to be better? It's work. Planning is work. Watering is work. But God said, if you'll do the work, I will give an increase. He says it like this. He said, if I will be lifted up from the earth, then I would draw all men unto me. He didn't tell us to go get them, y'all. He told us to put in the work. So what is significant about the orange and the covering? Well, the orange is what? It has a covering. So what they were gambling for at the feet of Jesus and what we often find ourselves gambling for, brothers and sisters, is that we don't take what the real deal is. We are so inundated with the cover. So essentially what this is taking an orange and eating the peel and throwing away the actual juicy seed part. How many of you would just take the orange and just eat the peel and throw the rest of it away? What we do is we do the opposite, in fact. In fact, what we do is we peel that orange and we throw what we call the peeling away. And then we eat the orange. And then what? Once we eat the orange, We have these seeds. And these seeds, if we plant them and water them, well, what? In time, raise up to be another orange tree. And therefore, the process starts over again. This is how new believers are what? Brought into the kingdom. So watch this. So this is what, remember Jesus said, what? If you take this bread, remember he told him at the Last Supper, take this cup and drink of me and do it as often as you can. Take this bread, it's my body. Oh, come on, did y'all see it? My body, eat of me. The Bible says, like he said, taste and see that the Lord is good. John said that it was like eating honey, right? So the word of God is good. So when we open that thing, what Jesus said, what? That God is what? He's the living word. If you're eating the word, it's nourishing to your bones. It's nourishment to our bodies. This is how we live spiritually, by eating the word. So if we eating this thing, so think about that orange. If you're taking the cover off and now you're starting to eat that orange, not only do you get to eat the juicy goodness of that orange, not only do your body get nourishment, not only do you get the vitamin C that you need, and do you also get to enjoy the sticky goodness of it, but he leaves you a remnant, seeds. And those seeds, what are you to do? Plant them. And then it can happen again. So those seeds that he's given us, the seeds of your talent that he's giving you that you're not using, the seeds of the anointing that he's put on your life that you're not using, the seed of the offerings that he's told you to give and you're not giving, and then you wonder why you're not, you know, God is not overflowing in your life, why you're still stuck in this space. You know if you're cheating him. I ain't got, see, here at the same time, I tell people, I don't dig in your pockets. I ain't got to. You know, and he knows. And if you don't want to be blessed and anymore, that's on you. People ask me all the time. Yes, God has blessed my wife and I with a beautiful home. He blessed us with good children. We have a couple of things. But I told my wife, and I was telling her the other day, she was talking about, well, baby, maybe we shouldn't show this, or maybe we shouldn't do that. And I told her, I said, well, we know we're not bragging, but we're boasting in the Lord. Because I'm reminded that God is just what? He said that he would bless those who that bless him. It's part of the blessing. So therefore, how can I preach and teach to others that God would bless you if I'm not an example of that? That's why I'm very intentional. And I tell people, and those of the safe house know, Pastor Ely didn't get paid anything to be up here. This is out of my love for God's people and his kingdom. The equipment belongs to the church. Yes, the church pays for all these nice cameras and this stuff, you know. But I don't get anything. God takes care of me, and I'm grateful for that. So that I can be able to preach and teach to you that, look, my tithe still go. My tithe go into the church, my offering go into the church, and it goes into our church bank account, and it blesses whoever God tells us to bless. It does whatever it is God tells us to do with it. Why? So that what? I can be a blessing, because I want to be blessed too. I'm not blessed just through you. And therefore, what? I have to be the first partaker of the fruit. I'm not going to ask you, and I tell our church this all the time, Pastor Eli is never going to ask you to do anything that he won't do or has not already done. That's just the kind of leader I am. That's how I'm made. That's the cloth I'm cut from. That ain't everybody. And there may be a day and time where it's time that God see fit that say, okay, they bless me with offering or they bless me with whatever. But I know that time is not now. Why? Because we're still what? We're still in germination state. See, some of us, you know, God has told us to do things and then you want to eat from it too soon. Come on, somebody. Where there's no investment, woo! Are y'all with me? Where there's no investment, where there's no time, the Bible says where your heart is where your treasure is. And the truth of the matter is, my wife will tell you, our church would not have made it to this point if it wasn't for us giving tithes. No. So I know some people don't do that. Some pastors don't do that, but you got a pastor here that will do that and does do that. And why I am blessed because of it. I dare not do that. He's keeping me healthy. They tell me last week, I'm in some of the best health I ever could be in. Could that change in a part B? Yes. But I believe that he's rebuking the vile and for my sake. Because what? There are people I went to school with that's already dead in their grave from heart attack. There are people I went to school with, I've gone to school with, when I mean school, I mean college, high school, whatever, that have kidney failure at their age. Some of them look terrible. Mm-hmm. Some of them have been through some horrific things. And yet God has kept me through it all. And I travel this country to and fro. I'm on planes all over the place. I'm driving on the road 200-300 miles a week, sometimes 1,000 miles a week. And he's kept me. Oh, you ain't gonna mess with my faith and tell me that God has not been good. Is it perfect? No. But he's kept me. And he's kept you too. So here, what, as we were saying here, this thing, what, it goes over and over again. So ask you again, are you trusting faith? Or are you trusting faith? Are you trusting faith or are you trusting faith? So he asked him here in Isaiah this. These are the questions he asked in Isaiah 11 and 12. He says this. He says this, and I'm finishing up. I'm going to get out here. Therefore, will I number the sword, killing, and shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, watch this, when I called, ye did not answer. You didn't call. He called, and you didn't answer. When I spake, I'm in Isaiah 65 and 12. When I spake, ye did not hear. I told you, you didn't listen. But did evil before my eyes. You did your own thing. You walked around in your own fate. And did choose. Notice this. It's a choice. See, some people try to say, no. It's my destiny. No, destiny is a choice. If you choose to have it. I have problems. You have problems. Right? But the blessings of God are yay and amen. I see and tell you, the last year and a half hadn't been one of my best years professionally, but at the same time, it has been the best year professionally. It's one of those things, crazy. In my mind, I share my testimony. In my mind, I've been going through some of the worst time at work. I'm like, this is nuts. But at the same time, it seems like I've been winning after award, after award, after award. This one want to interview me. This one want to take me this one that. And at the same time, I'm struggling to want to even get up sometimes to go to work because I'm tired. I'm like, Lord, this is just... When is my change going to come, Lord? When is this going to happen? And God is saying, evidently, not yet. Can I just inspire somebody else to tell you all that this thing is not a bed of roses for me either? I know we put on our smile and we show up every Wednesday night and every Sunday morning and every morning from 6 a.m. And some of y'all know I'll be so tired on that thing. But I'm faithful. And you are faithful. That's why you're there. And I'm here to tell you that if you stay faithful, the Bible said, weeping, man, do it for a night. But his joy coming in the morning. Will you stay faithful? That's what we're talking about here. That what? Are we gambling at the feet of faith? When he's asked us to be faithful, are we gambling by going our own way? Because he said this in 65. He said, but the devil did what? Before my eyes. And did choose that which in, and I delighteth not. So what is he saying to you all today? Simple as this. He called you. Did you answer? Write this down. He called you. This is personal. Introspective. He called you. Did you answer? Only you can answer that. See, I'm so glad that God has us in the space that, you know, I just put it out there. Why? Because you got to choose to be better. This is your walk. I'm just here to help facilitate the walk. If you want to walk, we are walking. If you don't want to walk, we're not walking, but we're walking. But you might be just, we just leave you there. But if you want to be with us and you want to go forward, you want to get better, let's go together. Why? Because the walk is easier when I can pick up the phone and talk to Brother Haywood and say, Brother Haywood, I'm having a tough time. And he can say, Peter, you know what? I've been there. And then when Brother Haywood can pick up the phone and say, Peter, Pastor Pete, I'm having a tough time. And I'm saying, Brother Haywood, God is faithful. See, it gets tough when I can't pick up the phone and call not another believer. This is why he said what? Cast your cares for your cares. That what? We ought to shoulder the burdens of each other. If you ain't had one, keep living. Your day is coming. You ain't been tested through nothing. Keep living. Your day is coming. We have some people in this church that's been battle tested. And some are still going through. We got people who have sick children. And if you those who have children, you know how that feels on your heart. I'm a dad. I got children. I know how I feel about mine. I only can imagine what they feel about theirs. We have some people who have adult children that might be doing whatever. Once a parent, always a parent, they tell me. I believe that. If my children are grown, I know I'm going to still be worried about because they were mine. They my responsibility until I close my eyes. If they 59, it doesn't matter. They making their own choices, but I'm still there what? To pray for them and keep them at the foot of the cross. So when the day I chose to be a parent, because I chose that, by my action, and it was very intentional. But I chose that. I also chose to be a parent. Are y'all with me? So how you think Jesus, I mean, God felt about Jesus sitting there on the cross? He already knew that this was going to be what? His destiny, that he was going to do this in faith. So he had to sit there and watch his son die like that, so that what? That you and I could be what? Reconciled unto him. Think about that for a moment. Are y'all with me today? I hope that you're getting something out of this, and I'm not just boring you all. And like I said, I really am almost done. I don't want to be like the old preachers keep telling y'all I'm done. But did you answer that call? The second question he asked him here, when he spake, did you hear? Because see, sometimes the truth of the matter is, my wife can be talking to me, and I really am paying attention. And all of a sudden, I'm paying attention. I heard what she said, but I didn't hear. Any other men folk have that problem? I think that just might be a man problem, but maybe not. But sometimes you hear and you don't hear. My wife could be telling me, baby, this and this about this. And really, she might be saying this, but I heard what I thought I heard, but I won't hear it. The Bible said that he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. God has been speaking to the church. He's been speaking to the Safe House Church. He's been speaking to some of these members in the Safe House Church specifically. And all I want to know is, are you hearing? He's speaking to me as pastor. I know he's speaking to you. But see, it's not my job to come down there and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, Brother Williams, God wants you to do this and do that. Mm-mm. What I provide is confirmation to what he's already told you. See, there's the difference. See, some people are waiting for people to come out and crown them and say, yep, you it. You the next Michael Jordan. And what I'm learning is, and I hope you're learning today, is you're walking in faith. We're not gambling. See, when I go ahead and crown you and make you the next Michael Jordan, I'm gambling. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But I'm going to declare this thing. Like people come out, you know, decree and declare. Yeah, I believe in declaring a thing. But you declare a thing when God has already told you that it was going to happen. Therefore, it's not gambling. And sometimes as believers, we done made, you know, naming and claiming and all this stuff. Yeah, I'm claiming it when God already told me it was mine. Now, if God really told you that it was yours, then you can what? You can go claim it. Yeah, it is mine because it's yours. You just waiting on the time to pass or whatever it is got to happen in between there. But sometimes we go in there and say, Lord, here's this Maybach is mine in the name of Jesus. I'm going to name it and claim it. And he ain't bit man told you that Maybach was yours. You want a Maybach. And you're living in the outback. Are y'all with me? You see what I'm saying? God is a God of priority. Right? Why you need a Maybach and you only take care of the Honda Accord you got? You want to go get the oil changed in that? You want to get the tires rotated on that? But you want a Maybach? Well, a brake job might cost you $10,000. Come on, somebody. God is a God of order. The Bible said the blessings of God are yea and amen. Yea and amen. So I ask again today, are you hearing? I don't have to crown you. God has already told you. All he did, if God's told you, he'll tell me. And I'll just provide confirmation with you and support you in this walk and say, go forth. Because you're not gambling at the feet of faith, but you're actually walking in faith. For you know, we already know, most of us know that our slogan here is that we walk by faith and not by sight. As the Bible tells us that. You know, I think, you know, God bless us. So Apostle Price made that, I guess, more a little bit more famous. But I believe that and I walk in that, that we walk in by faith and not by sight. And it's hard sometimes because God will show you something and you'll just see it and you don't see nothing else about it. All you saw is yourself with it. All you saw is it came to pass. What happened in between there? You don't know. But wait, are you gambling at the feet of faith? I'll give you this one quick story and I'm done. I really am. I remember my wife and I got pregnant with our first child. Miss Maddie. Y'all know Maddie. Maddie is my baby. That's my girl. And my wife was there in labor, first child. You know, we was induced and all this stuff. You know how babies go. And was there, and it came time for the wife to, you know, push, and she was pushing, and, you know, we trying to get there, and Maddie's, you know, coming, and all of a sudden, you know how they monitor your children, you know, they monitoring blood pressures and all this stuff. And it came to a point in time where things got a little critical. You know, I think if I recall correctly, I think Felicia's blood pressure dropped, and my blood pressure got low, and Maddie's blood pressure had started getting low and skyrocketed. And there was a chance there for a moment. It looked like I could lose both of my girls at one time. And God is faithful. And I never forget it. As clear as day. I was one day, I think I was just laying in the bed, or was I dreaming? Or I don't even remember what the case was. And God told me that this child, he said, oh, yeah, your first baby is going to be a girl, and she's going to be born vaginally. She's going to be born, you know, in the traditional natural sense. It was going to be a girl, and it was going to be, you know, the traditional vaginal birth. All right? So when I found out Maddie was, you know, a girl, you know, you go in and you do the ultrasound thing, and you find out you're a girl, I was not surprised. I already knew. Now, do you have that little thing in the back of your mind? Was that really just me, or was it what I ate? You know, I ate at Burger King the night before and all this kind of stuff, right? But I remember it as clear as day, the Spirit spoke that to me. And I'll never forget it. And that's why I'm able to share this story with you right now. And I remember, all right, so it was a girl showing up. They went in there and they said, oh, it was a girl. So, you know, in my mind, I was like, well, I'm just going to have all girls. But God sent me Preston. Thank God. All right. So in that, all right, well, fine. If girl, not a surprise, because I, you know, I already had spaded because God had already told me. What the Spirit told me. All right, so now we get to the point, like I said, she's pushing. It's a critical moment. And the nurses come to me, and they ask me, say, Mr. Ely, we're at a point that we believe we need to go do emergency C-section. Emergency C-section, what do you mean? Well, you know, your wife's blood pressure is kind of low, and we're kind of worried, and your daughter's blood pressure is kind of low, and we're kind of worried, and we want to go do this. And at that moment, it was just like a TV screen. It came right back to me. And the Spirit said, nope, don't you do that. She's going to be born the natural way. And in addition to that, my wife had already made it clear to me that she really did not want to be cut. You know, she would have did what she had to do. But it was really her desire. If she could avoid that, she really wanted to. So I was trying to, you know, as a good husband, trying to make sure her wishes were carried out when she was in a state that she really couldn't make the decisions that she would normally make. So here it is. My faith is on the line. I'm sitting here thinking, I can lose both of my girls. At this point, my wife and I, we were married almost 10 years. We waited 10 years to have our first kid. Here it is, my first kid, our first pregnancy, first time getting pregnant. Baby coming here. We excited. It's going to be the only grandchild on one side, and she'll be number two on the other side. Everybody's excited for us. We done it the right way. You know, oh, come on, somebody. So the anticipation is so high. Yet now here I am with all of this, my wife and my new baby's life potentially right here. And I had a decision to make. Now, I would tell you, if it was not for me having that vision or however the Spirit spoke to me that time, I would have said, go do what you got to do. Because I trust professionals. I'm a professional. And these people professional, I know how much they train. I know how much they go through. You know, so I do have a healthy respect for professionals. I do. Me being one also. You know, give respect. To get respect, you got to give it. So with that, I was looking and I thought about it. But like I said, God brought it back to my spirit real quick. And said, nope. I told you she was going to be born this way. Now, I know sometimes there are things that come to you all that you go through and it looks bad. And fate, that game of chance. See, because look, think about it. We went in there, it was a game of chance. My wife could have bled out right there on the table. Something that they saw that they misinterpreted could have been. Anything can happen when you're under surgery. She could have had an adverse reaction to some of the anesthesia. Literally anything could happen while she was on that table. Those who are in operation, those who've gone through that before, you know what I'm talking about. They tell me that the closest time that woman's near death is when she's on that table. I mean, or that chair or whatever they have them in the stirrups trying to have that baby. Many women have died of old trying to have children. We all know that. Both white and black, Hispanic, whatever, it doesn't matter. So now we're at this point, and I just remember, and at that time, you don't know how, see, this I always tell people this, you don't know what you're going to do until you put into that situation. I'm grateful that I trust God, but sometimes, y'all, that fake side of me takes over. That game of chance. It's 50-50. Do I send my wife into surgery, and they both come out fine? Or do I stay in there and they botched this up? They botched this, you know, because they couldn't 1, 2 o'clock in the morning and somebody half sleep. Or do we go ahead and we push and we trust God? Well, I can tell you today, and obviously I'm here, I'm telling you all this story because my daughter is about to be 10 this year, that I opted for faith. I know my wife is a woman of faith. I know everything God has given us to that point, he gave to us. And I had purpose in my heart. God just showed me that this baby was going to be a girl, that my first kid was going to be a girl, and that she was going to be here, she was going to be born back. And to that point, I did not understand why he showed me the way she was born. Until that moment in time, we're sitting there in that doctor's, we're sitting there in the hospital right here in Greensboro, and she's pushing at this baby. So I tell the nurse, I said, nope, we're going to go forth. My wife don't want to be cut, and I believe that's how God wants her to be here. And I remember the nurse looking at me. She gave me that look of like, oh my God. She was like, well, we can try one more time. And, you know, so we went over there and she's pushing and going and you know, the little machines are going off. And I ain't gonna lie, it got a little shaky. You know, my name is Peter for a reason. I was like Peter out there walking on the water. I started to sink and I was like, Lord, save me. Hey. But you know what? He showed up. And next thing I know, here come Maddie. And she got this head full of hair. She's crying. Alicia's happy. I'm happy. Baby seems to be, you know, healthy. This little chunky baby. This 9, 10, and 23 inches long, yo, chunky baby, is, you know, is now here, and all is well. Now we can play that thing. What if I listen to that doctor? I'm not saying that you don't listen to the doctor. You do what God has told you to do. Let's be clear. But I know in that moment what he had shown me about my family as priest of my home. And I'm here to tell you, it was scary. It was downright scary. Because there was a chance I could lose both of them. But God saw us through. And now I understood why he showed me that. It never made sense to me. Okay, girl, fine, great. Glad about that, so we knew we was preparing for a girl. But the way she was born, you know, I didn't have any thought about it. So she would be born like, you know, whatever. But God showed me this for a reason. Now, I do believe there's some things that God has shown you for a reason. You've not seen when they're not happening yet. Some of these things he's told you about you yourself since you was a child. Some of these things he's shown you about other people and situations and circumstances. I'm here to tell you today as a living witness, hold on. Because pastor got one or two others got and showed him. And he's like, and I'm sitting there scratching my head and said, Lord, how is this going to work out? Because it don't look good right now. But I know what you showed me, Lord. How? I could not see it. But I trust you. And you know what helps me? I seen him do the work before. See, if he didn't tell me that with Maddie and Felicia, that how that situation was going to go down, it wouldn't strengthen my faith. Because I'm going to tell you right now, this situation I'm talking about for me personally, that something I'm going through, something I'm dealing with, I can't see it, y'all. I'm going to be honest. I know what I felt the Spirit tell me. I feel strong about it. And, it's like, and it looks terrible. The situation looks bad. I'm like, how is this going to happen? But he reminds me, didn't I do that? And that was bleak, wasn't it? And I was like, yeah, it was. So how come I can't do this? You're right. Now, how are you going to do it, Lord? I don't know. The Bible says it like this. He said, we prophesy in part and we know in part. And I believe that's for a reason. Because if we knew exactly how God was going to do everything, we would just sit back and just do this and do that. But God, what? He asked for our active participation in what he does in our lives. And I'm asking for your active participation in this ministry as we go forward, as we coming in now to the summer months. I know a lot of people starting on vacation, all those things, and do those things. Pastor hadn't been on one in 2 years because of the pandemic. We're going this year too. So we're going to figure out what we're going to do that Sunday. But I'm seeing y'all pre-recorded message or whatever the case may be. We'll be having those talks soon. Amen. Because I don't want nobody to miss, because we need, you know, we need to regroup and reorganize as a family. Because this is a family church. Amen. Meaning that what? The church is made up of families, and we want you to spend that time with your family and your loved ones and build up. Amen. Because we all, what, we need each other to survive. But I'm here to tell you today that what? If God is telling you to do a thing, trust him. It's hard. I'm not going to say and tell you it's not. Because why? Everything around us work off chance. It was chance that this happened. It was a chance that that happened. It was a chance of this, and it was a chance of that. All these things what work off chance and faith. But I'm here to tell you today that you and I don't work off faith. We work off faith. And we're not going to gamble at our faith at the feet of the faith. Are y'all with me on today? God bless you all. Love you all. I've given you all that God has given me to give for you on today. I just want to pray and we're going to get out of here and ask for offering. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for our faith, Lord Jesus. That our faith be made strong, Lord Jesus. That we don't rely on faith to know when faith is there. Lord, that you showed us, Lord Jesus, things about ourselves. You've shown us things about our situations, our circumstances. And Lord, we don't know how they're going to come to fruition. We don't know how they're going to come together. We don't know how it's going to work out. But Lord, you didn't tell us to know how it's going to work out. You said that you have prophesied and showed us things in part. But you told us to trust and believe and not doubt. Lord, I ask that you strengthen somebody's faith on today. That someone's strength be faith in on today. Lord, that someone, Lord Jesus, Lord, don't know how, don't know when, Lord Jesus, but I know that you coming back again. And Lord, that it's going to work out in our favor, oh God. And that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Lord, we thank you for what in advance for what they're doing. We thank you for what you have them, Lord. We thank you for where they're going. And Lord, we ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, that sinks in their spirit, Lord Jesus, that both inspire them and cut them and move them to do something for you. And we ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. But we know this one thing, we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. Love you all. If it's on your heart to give, I ask that you all bless this ministry here, that everything here at the Safe House Church goes right back to the Safe House Church. You can get us at Cash App at $SafeHouseChurch, G-S-O. Again, that's Cash App, the $SafeHouseChurch, G-S-O. You'll see the little purple logo there in the corner. That's how you know you got the right one. If you're old school and you like writing checks and money orders, you can write us a check or a money order. Make it payable to Finding Fish Ministries. Again, that's Finding Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina. And that's 273588. Again, that's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Or you can always do PayPal, paypal.me/ministry8. Again, that's paypal.me/ministry8. So grateful to those here that God has just opened up so many doors for us and blessed us. Amen. So if God has put on your heart to give, I ask that you do so. Tithe offering. I know it's the first of the month. Amen. So those who give one time a month, amen, you know how to do that. All right, God bless you all. Love you all. Hey, do not forget that during the week, we have a Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday that we do a prayer call, amen, on the Zoom. So I guess we'll be there in the morning. I know tomorrow's a holiday, but if you come, you come. If not, I'll still be up, and we'll do it 6 a.m. Monday through Friday that we pray, amen. Bring your prayer requests and whatever it is that you have God to do for you. Also, be reminded on Wednesday nights that we have Bible study. We didn't have it last week. I got caught up at work. That's part of the thing of being a bivocational pastor. Sometimes those things happen, and I do apologize, and we're working to be better in that space in the future. And then again, here on next week, if you decide to go out somewhere, be safe, be careful, and I ask God just to watch over and keep you all. And we had one prayer request for Brother Oscar, who is being transported in the hospital this morning. Let's pray the prayer of faith for him right now, and then we'll get out of here. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now. Lord, I ask that you look upon the friend of Brother Jerome. Well, I see church brother Oscar. Oh God, you see him in the hospital, Lord. You see what's going on, Lord. You see where he is, Lord. You see what he's going through. Lord Jesus, I say, Lord Jesus, that you look upon him right now in the name of Jesus. I said you touch him right now from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, oh God. Relieve the pain, Lord Jesus, or whatever is going on. Fix whatever it is going on, oh God. Allow it to be made whole, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Let him know you in the power of your love and the power of your might. Strengthen and keep him, Lord. Touch his family, oh God, Lord Jesus, Lord. Look at, help them, oh God, Lord Jesus. They go forward, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we touch you. We bless your name, Lord. For we dare not touch that glory, but we give your name the honor and the praise. The glory and the power, Lord, for belongs to you and you alone. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. I love you all. You all have a tremendous day. Have a good time with your families. Enjoy yourselves. And if the Lord's will, we'll see you all tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for the 30-minute prayer. And if not, we'll see you all on Wednesday. Amen. And then maybe on next Sunday. God bless you all. I love you all. Have a great week. And remember, gamble at the feet of faith. You don't want to gamble at the feet of faith because you have faith. And we're walking by faith and not by sight. God bless y'all. Love you. Take care.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation, suicide.